Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, new customers, when you sign up and use promo code DNVR, you can place a $5 bet on any money line for the NBA playoffs. And when you win, it's going to be $150 in bonus bets instantly, thanks to code DNVR and thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I am Patrick Lyons.
I'm Susie Hunter. Patrick, swept in Seattle. I was really hoping that they wouldn't get swept so I could tweet out, sweepless in Seattle. A joke that I'm sure no one else has used in the whole history of baseball in Seattle.
Which, when you break it down, means without sweep. But they were with sweep.
They were very much with
they
sweep.
They were very much with
may
sweep.
May the sweep be with you today.
Yes. It was no hitterless in Seattle, though. I mean, maybe that's a silver lining. The fact that the Rockies did not get
no hit.
No hit or perfect gamed. Also not a phrase, but that's okay. If a no-hitter is a no-no, wouldn't a perfect game be a po-po? That's just where I'm coming from today, folks. We'll talk about the last three games against the Mariners. All losses. The fact that the Rockies have a five-game losing streak right now. Let's check in on Dinger, see if there's any last little bit of drama going on from that business. And then we'll cleanse the palate. We'll peep some tweets, have some fun, and get ready for the Nuggets game because it's nice to be in the postseason. Postseason is a warm and comfortable place for a lot of us.
I will say a couple of my friends are already here to watch the Nuggets game. They got here before 4 o'clock and wow. It's an 8:30 game. So,
oh, that's crazy. Well, we saw it last year with the Avs. People were outside, I think at 1:30, bar opened at 3:00 and then the game wasn't until like 6 o'clock. So it's, look, this is the place to be. If you're not at Ball Arena, you need to be
this
here
is
for
the
this.
Next play. Were you calling it baby ball last year?
Oh, that's right.
You were.
I did coin that. It's baby ball. That's exactly what it was. You might say it was baby ball in a different way for the Colorado Rockies, who were only able to get 3 hits today. They lost 1-0. Did have a couple opportunities there. Jerks and Profar getting the leadoff hit in the 7th to break up the no-hitter and perfect game from Luis Castillo. Then you had Chris Bryant getting an infield single, which was kind of helpful there. Runners on 1st and 2nd. And they, unfortunately, with the middle of the lineup coming up, weren't able to do anything against Luis Castillo. And that was really kind of their biggest threat.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one was, hey, well, here's something good.
This one broke me a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
How about this? Let's cheer up a little bit. Might have been a hard knock life for the Rockies, but there was another curly-haired redhead that had a good day, and the sun did come out for Noah Davis, his first big league start. 5 innings of shutout baseball. He was matching zeros with Luis Castillo. That's pretty good.
I love that. Actually, yeah. Noah Davis was absolutely the bright spot of this game. He absolutely kept the Mariners quiet. The Mariners have not been quiet for the past couple of days, so
it was
really refreshing to see. We only saw him for just a blip in relief last season, so getting to see his first big league start and seeing it go so well, what a great sign. What a great sign for this young man.
Yeah, very much a blip late last year. He had to wait a while to play. At least he did get to play, unlike Nolan Jones, unfortunately.
Well, I was not even surprised.
Yeah, Nolan Jones.
Good to have Nolan Jones up here warming the bench.
Yeah, that was strange. You did have a couple lefties there going for the Mariners, or at least on Friday night. Tommy Malone, who ended up only giving up like 1 run and 5 innings pitch, and then immediately got DFA'd.
Immediately.
I guess that's how good the Mariners are. Although they were actually really scrapping to start things off this season, and now with a 3-game winning streak, they're looking a lot better. He almost got decapitated.
That could have been so bad.
Line drive
that
right back up the middle.
That could have been absolutely horrendous. Have we ever seen a pitcher's hat come off like that without actually getting hit in the head with a ball?
Or hit on the brim. It hit the back of his cap.
It was the brim. That's how it came off?
No. It hit the back of his. He was like almost like looking in center field, and the ball skimmed past the back of his cap. So it didn't even hit the brim where you go, oh, yeah, that's a spot that's going to make it pop off, kind of like last year in Albuquerque. I forget who it was that took the line drive to the brim.
Oh, gosh.
And it was like that little zigzag. Speaking of zigzags, he got Charlie Brown is what he did. You know, I always think of that the comic strip where Line drive comes up the middle, and you see Charlie Brown upside down, clothes, cleats, hat, glove, everywhere. That was kind of Noah Davis's day a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, yeah, all right.
We had Jarrett Kelenic, who was not quiet in this series, did end up having the game-winning RBI single, also ended up going ahead and make a nice diving catch where Alan Trejo in the eighth, double, Elias Diaz steps up, and then unfortunately, what probably would have been a double in a lot of ways, doesn't fall in because Jarrett Kelenic makes a grab. That's that.
Why does he spell his name like that?
Jared.
Yeah.
Jared.
I feel like it's too many R's, you know?
Yeah. We've got a couple.
R's in his name, too many RBI in this series.
And I think I remember when he got drafted, and I want to say like 2018, it was Kelenic. Kelenic.
Oh, yeah.
By the Mets, and then the Mets got rid of him, and that's that. So we'll get better with the spellings of his name, especially as he continues to, you know, have a really productive career at age 23.
Good for him. You know, we don't see them again for the rest of this season.
All right. Also not good. Saturday's 9-2 loss on Jackie Robinson Day. There was an article that came out by MLB.com, and it listed all the different things teams were doing to celebrate Jackie Robinson Day, working with the community, doing all kinds of things. 25 teams were listed. The Colorado Rockies were not one of those teams. They, I guess, apparently didn't do anything necessarily to celebrate Jackie Robinson Day.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're also not at home. So, I mean, how much are they supposed to do? Like, what did teams on the road do for Jackie Robinson Day that the Rockies could have done? Because they weren't at home. What are they supposed to do?
Sure. Yeah, mathematically, there would be at least 10 of the 15 road teams would have still done something at least, you know. Colorado does have, Colorado and Denver never had a Negro League team officially, but there's a history of, you know, a barnstorming team here that played in the late 1920s, 1930s in the Denver Post Tournament. The Denver White Elephants, a team that sported a lot of Negro League stars during this interracial team. Like, it was integrated, excuse me. Satchel Paige even played for the Denver White Elephants. And so that's been a part of the history of baseball in Colorado that I think, you know, gets overlooked. And it's a bummer that the Rockies are not kind of, you know, leading the charge in that way, unfortunately.
You know, I wish they would. Lead the charge on something, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
But I love seeing all the Jackie Robinson Day celebrations all around baseball. Jason Hayward gave a speech to the Cubs and the Dodgers yesterday outside of the in the outfield where the Jackie Robinson statue is at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, I did not catch that one.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I saw it on Twitter. I thought that was great that they all came together.
Yeah, that's
bigger than
that's
baseball,
super classy.
Man. It's bigger than baseball.
Yeah, that's super classy. Are we live right now? Yeah? Okay. 10 years after Commissioner Bud Selig made the announcement that 42 was going to be retired for all teams, 50th anniversary, Jackie Robinson, 1947, so 1997, he does that. Ken Griffey Jr. was the one in Seattle, so that's kind of neat that the Rockies are in Seattle. Ken Griffey Jr. is the one that says, hey, I'd like to wear 42 as a tribute to Jackie Robinson on April 15th. So it's cool that this day kind of, you know, really like sparked that. And 2009 was actually the first year that started happening. So I guess next year will be the 15th year that happens, which is pretty cool.
15 years. I'm so glad that it's just a day now that we all get to celebrate.
True.
Yeah. I think that absolutely deserved to have a day, and I'm glad that it's a day.
Yeah. And in 2020, when the season started on July 23rd, they still celebrated it. I like that. I think that was a classy touch.
Yes.
No such thing as a belated birthday wish for Jackie Roosevelt Robinson. Ryan Feltner looked good through three innings in the fourth. It fell apart for him, unfortunately.
We're talking about Saturday again.
Saturday's game, the 9-2 loss. They were in it early. Then it just kind of got away. Bullpen blew it, but did they? Because really it was Ezekiel Tovar error that allowed four unearned runs to score at that point. Elias Diaz, you know, rakes, two hits, had himself an RBI, had himself a double. And I was really thinking today, did you think last night in Saturday's game that we had the makings of a potential benches clearing situation? Do you think we were at least on the precipice with the four hit by pitches last night? Elijah Montero getting one right between the numbers. That one did not look like it had gotten away out of someone's hand, an off-speed pitch. Did you think that, you know what, maybe there could be some juice in the ballpark on Sunday?
I would have loved to have seen it. I do love when things escalate to the point of a brawl.
You?
Me? Couldn't be. I thought there was a chance, but I kind of thought it was unlikely.
Yeah.
Because it's not like these teams have a lot of bad blood between them.
That's true, too. You know, the Rockies don't have really any bad blood in them whatsoever. They have Bud Blood, you know, so it's good-natured.
They have what? Oh, Bud?
Bud Blood.
Okay. Bud Black. Yeah. Although, they do. I will say, though, looking at some of the responses to the DNVR Rockies tweets.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are these Mariners fans coming at us? First of all, we're getting swept. We know we're bad.
Mariners?
Can you leave us alone?
Yeah. What were your thoughts on that? Because whether you go back to the comments or not, there were 8 times as many comments from Mariners people than Rockies. I don't even think the Rockies people even commented. They're like, yeah, we get it. We know what's going on. Maybe we'll throw it a like. But it was the Mariners fans that were jumping in being like,
I didn't think that they were a fan base like that, where they were just like, they're just chiming up
little
in the
unhinged.
Comments. They were kind
unhinged.
Of unhinged. And I thought that, you know, since the Pacific Northwest is such a nice place to live, maybe they'd be in better moods.
True.
But I guess not. Yeah.
I said
and after all the support, you know what? This is the thing that annoyed me. After all the support we gave them in the postseason last year, Mariners fans had the nerve to come at us.
That's true.
Thought we were a friend of the brand. And I guess not. Fuck them.
Yeah. Whoa, there you go. Not safe for work. That's it. Not safe for work. Not safe for Mariners fans. Yeah, no. That was.
I'm thinking about ending my friendship with the Mariners community.
All right, you could be an American League free agent. You might need a new team.
I mean, it's obviously Cleveland.
Yeah,
I love Cleveland.
Well, we both had them going to the World Series, so
we
maybe
do.
The Angels though. Maybe.
You know what? I mean,
could you see it?
Maybe. You know what? They just kind of, they remind me of the Rockies too much.
Yeah, that's true.
We're in the fact that they will sign guys and then just not do enough.
Nope.
To build around those guys. Does that sound familiar?
But they still at least have Trout and Ohtani.
They have two generational talents.
They do. The Rockies generational talent, Chris Bryant, his first home run on Friday night. He got on the board. He homered.
And of course it was not at Coors Field.
No, it was not.
No, it was not.
It was nice. He was able to get that one. Did have a 2-hit game. So, again, he's hitting. He's just not hitting for power exactly. He's getting his doubles in. But the home runs still kind of be something that we really have to track. You know, if it doesn't come at Coors, it'll be odd. But as long as he's hitting them, mm-hmm. I think that's good. 20 home runs. He needs it at least 20 to really kind of quiet anyone questioning whether, you know, not whether, but where his power has gone.
What is he on pace for if he's at 1 home run in 15 games?
That would be probably about 11 to 12.
Oh, that's not...
Not great.
Got to pick up the pace.
Not
Come on,
great.
Chris. Christopher.
No. Tovar showed some patience there. He did have a bases loaded walk, which was great. Another really fantastic catch by Jerickson Profar. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing a nice job. If you're a Rockies fan and you're like, you want to... a player who's just left of center and is not maybe one of the more notable names. Profar has been enjoyable so far. Leadoff home run,
yeah.
3 really great plays, broke up the no-hitter today.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. He's a happy guy.
So far, I am a Profar guy.
That's it. So far, it's been Profar.
Ah.
I like it. Justin Lawrence is another guy that's, I mean, he's left of center as far as notable household names. But, I mean, if you're a Rockies fan, you already love and adore Justin Lawrence. He looked bored striking out Julio Rodriguez today on 5 pitches. Bored.
He looked bored. Why do you think he looked bored?
It's not a challenge. He's dominating right now with his frisbee slider.
He's so good.
It's amazing.
He's too good for his own good? Is that what you're saying?
Could be.
Are you implying that?
It could be. The line of Panama is, he's roaring. He's ready to go. He wants a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hasn't had one yet. We'll see. Maybe... The Pittsburgh Pirates will provide a challenge for the next 3 days? No. Bullpen was good on Friday. 4 1/3 scoreless innings. Jake Bird, 2 1/3 innings pitched. 5 strikeouts. Come on.
Jake Bird is back. Jake Bird is back. 5 consecutive strikeouts. Okay.
Yes. Dominant.
I love that. I was so happy to see that because I know, like, you know, Buddy sees something in him that we have not seen so far this season.
Sure.
So the fact that we could see it on Friday, I loved that. That made me so happy.
Well, that was a question that I asked on Wednesday. It was because I've been thinking about it, and some guys will have a season where they just can't get their legs under them. Mm-hmm. Like it just went ass over tea kettle right from the beginning, and you can't reel it back in. And I'm like, yeah. I got a bad feeling this could be Jake Bird's kind of season. But so far, tea kettle and ass are in their proper positions. So
I don't know if I know this saying, but I'm
ass over tea kettle. I know how to use it. I don't actually know where it comes from. It sounds very British.
I feel like you heard a saying and you heard it wrong, and then you've just been using it. Because I don't know what the saying is.
I've been watching Downton Abbey a lot. I think
Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
okay.
Downton Abbey. Austin Gomber went downtown, and they were not kind to him in Seattle. 3 2/3 innings pitched, 5 runs, 4 walks. That's the thing that will kill him. Not great. And then Kalanick did have the go-ahead home run also on Friday night. During that 5-3 loss, and extended his home run streak to 4 straight games. First for a Mariners player, age 23 or younger since, Ken Griffey Jr. That's a pretty good group to be in.
That is, hey, when you're in the same sentence as Ken Griffey Jr., you are doing well. Will has a question in the comments. If Justin wants a challenge, would he like a start?
Ooh, that's interesting.
What if?
I don't know if that makes sense, but...
It doesn't.
that could be interesting. I don't know that teams are using openers anymore.
Yeah.
Again, on maybe on more of a contending team, you could get creative and do something like that. If you've got a team that has a top of the lineup that's loaded, if you're playing someone like the Philadelphia Phillies, which the Rockies will be playing next week, could you see an approach like that? Sure. It's unconventional, but if you've got an unconventional approach and you're winning with it, it's fine. It's totally fine. Today over on the DNVR.com, diehards only. It's one of those benefits you get when you're a diehard in addition to 15% off on your food and beer, 20% off all the gear. We got a table set up right now for the Nuggets watch party with the big start to the playoffs for them tonight. 20% off on all the tailgates, party buses. But for the diehards, you can check out this article, Lion's Share. I wrote a little bit about stolen bases and how stolen bases don't necessarily mean you're going to win ball games. In fact, the Minnesota Twins going into today had 1 stolen base, and they were 10-5 to start the day. First place in the NL Central or AL Central, second best record in all of the American League. So stolen bases certainly aren't the be all end all. But if you're winning, it doesn't matter if you're unorthodox just a little bit. So the Rockies being unorthodox, I think they might be worried about being too unorthodox. And it not working out for them. So I don't know that we would see something like that. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. And again, it is something that was popularized several years ago. So maybe the Rockies will have just heard about it and then go, wait a minute. We just heard about this thing. So it's not that crazy.
It hasn't gotten to Colorado yet. That was funny.
Could be.
Also, speaking
of
Orthodox, happy Orthodox Easter to all of my Albanians and Greeks out there.
I almost segued into it as if it were some kind of ad read for Orthodox Easter, but I'm glad I saved it for you to do that.
It's my Easter today.
Yeah.
My mom and I will celebrate after this show.
That's good.
Yeah.
And you get some extra raffle tickets when you're at the Nuggets watch party tonight. Yeah. There's a party bus, too.
That's a nice little Easter egg.
I don't know if that's sold out yet, the party bus.
You know what? I found out, I think today that we had a party bus.
Yeah.
So I know that the sense of urgency for getting people to the game safely and also in a fun way, I love to see that.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun because there's beer on the party bus, probably some Avalanche Ale, right? Could be the Mile High City. But Avalanche Ale season is the time right now. You know, it blends pale, chocolate, caramel malts, and that well-rounded flavorful beer. It can do just about a little bit of anything. Maybe almost like Justin Lawrence, because Justin Lawrence could start games. He can close out games. He can give you 2 innings in the middle of the ball game when you need it. Justin Lawrence is the Avalanche Ale for the Rockies bullpen.
I like that.
And because he is the Avalanche Ale of the Rockies bullpen, we'll have to see if we can get some of those beers out in the bullpen for the guys. You know what I mean? I saw Bard and maybe it was even Denelson Lamet on Instagram. They had some Yeti chairs or something.
Oh, yeah.
They
got
a whole setup, right?
I think they were gifted really nice chairs.
It was pretty cool. And now they need some Avalanche Ale. So make sure that your mini fridge or, garage fridge or full fridge in your regular in your house, whatever it is, you go to breckbrew.com to the Breck Beer Locator and find out how you can get the beer made in Colorado with renewable energy, 100% Colorado ingredients. I love that. And I love how you can watch tonight's Nuggets game over on Fubo TV. It's amazing. They got Altitude Sports, so
yeah,
that's the place to go. 140-plus live channels, live sports.
It's the best way to get the most Colorado sports.
It's true.
Cheapest way.
Like, sports are obviously the biggest thing with Fubo TV as far as getting the best bang for your buck. Of course, you can use the link in our description, either the podcast or on the DNVR Sports channel here on YouTube. You do that, you're going to get 15% off. So you're going to save, which is great. You don't even have to be a diehard. That's just a little freebie that we're giving away. You also get a free 7-day trial. No contract, no cable, no hassle. I'm super stoked because I noticed that they've got stars over on Fubo TV.
Oh, they have stars?
So they've got the brand new season 3 of Party Down, the Adam Scott vehicle. You're familiar with Party Down?
I didn't know that the new season was out.
Yeah. Yeah, they got it.
I've watched the first two, but that was so long ago.
So long. Yeah, like a decade or so ago. I'm bummed Lizzie Kaplan was the only one that wasn't able to come back. I don't know why.
Oh.
But everybody else is back. And that's pretty great. I mean, that was like the first show I think that really broke Adam Scott. Is like, oh, this guy's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, he can do comedy. And then his career kind of took off in a lot of ways. The poor man's Paul Rudd. Right? That's a good comp.
I love
Adam Scott, but
kind of, yeah.
That's not bad. Okay. I think that's not bad, right? Because he's not doing the movies. He's more on the TV side of things. And you could be on the TV side of things, of course, with Fubo TV. Any more fallout from the dinger business? I think when you went live on Friday, listen to the show.
The news had just broken. The guy had turned himself in. I don't think we have any new information.
Did he have the can with him? Or was that already somewhere resting in evidence? It is wild the take that most people seem to have, and I think we've pretty much said as much, is the fact that this person was just allowed to leave the stadium after attacking Dinger.
That's the issue. It wasn't taken
seriously from the get-go.
That's the issue. And, like, I think a lot of people, I've seen a lot of chatter on Twitter about it, where people were like, I have seen just, like, regular drunk, disorderly people who didn't assault anyone taken out of games in handcuffs.
Fair.
For someone to have been assaulted, I hate it. I'm glad that this dude has received citations.
Mm-hmm.
Throw him in jail.
That'll learn you. And timeline-wise, it was either just before he turned himself in, just after he turned himself in.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I don't really think it matters all that much. The fact that this went down on Monday, started making the rounds on Tuesday and Wednesday, Denver PD putting out the APB on this gentleman. But basically, right as it's happening, and it's not even over yet, the Colorado Rockies, as you pointed out, announced that they are going to extend beer sales. One more inning.
Poor timing.
Very poor timing, especially when you consider that they've got the Pirates series coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
3 games, and then they're back out on the road until they play the Arizona Diamondbacks on April 28th. So you could have waited until April 27th. You could have waited basically 2 weeks.
You'd have
lost 3 days of one extra inning of beer sales. But they decided to make that announcement and go forward with it. Then again, you know, I don't know if they've had contracts already in the work. I don't know the details behind that, but just a bad look.
You know what?
Just
it a bad is. Look. It is such a bad look. I'm sure they're just hoping that we don't notice the timing, because I'm sure it was something that they were thinking about.
Yeah.
We talked. I think Christian and I talked a little bit about this, and I know I've seen a lot of debate back and forth on the beer sale situation.
Because in
theory, you know, you stop beer sales in the 7th inning, so people sober up in time to be well enough to drive home.
Sure.
But first of all, even before the pitch clock, like, that's also not a lot of time to sober up if you've been drinking a whole game.
That's true.
So I don't really see this as, like, affecting people's safety. Also, like, personal responsibility is a thing.
I'd say
personal responsibility is, like, most of it.
Yeah. I don't have a major problem. I mean, I think it's, like, a fair point. It's one of those moments where it takes moving the line to realize, well, where the line was previously also wasn't great either.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it. You know what I mean? We're on a baseball pod. We've been doing this for a year and we haven't been like, man, isn't it crazy that, like, it's just 7th inning? Like, it's really close to the end. And when people leave, no, but that was true. We just didn't necessarily see it that way. So yeah, that was just wild timing in general for Dinger, who's coming up on his 30th birthday. I figured we could do a little deep dive in all things Dinger.
Isn't today Dinger's hatchiversary?
It would be, yeah, April 16th.
Today is April 16th, the day that Dinger hatched out of his shell. A friend of mine interviewed me for a defector blog post about Dinger. He was like, I'm trying to gauge how people actually feel about Dinger. And I'm like, okay, from what I've seen so far, I really do think that the adults now who were kids who witnessed the hatching in person, I think they are the people who do not like Dinger the most, because that was a very very traumatizing event.
Yeah.
I can see that. Seeing the video, he's just throwing the shell all over the place. I'm like, if I was there for that, I would probably be kind of scared of Dinger.
That's really, it's weird. Yeah. 29th birthday.
But you know what?
Hatch day.
Hatchiversary. I think kids now like Dinger. Kids now love Dinger.
I think there's only a few mascots that are above reproach, where you're just like, nope, legend status, Philly fanatic.
Yeah.
The Pirates parrot is only a year older, apparently, than the Philly fanatic, I learned. And yet, no one gives a crap
about
the Pirates
parrot. No one even knows about the parrot.
No one cares.
I think more about the pierogies as the mascot for the Pirates than the parrot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love those pierogies. They're hilarious.
So it's like, some mascots definitely get a pass. And the other ones, some are going to like, some are going to hate. It's, what's the point? Also, what it represents. I mean, the Chicago Cubs, I think it was only 2014 that they adopted a mascot, Clark. Atlanta only just did it in 2018. So, yeah, it's interesting. Dinger is aged. Dinger's been around a while.
Dinger's got seniority over a lot of these guys.
He does. The name Dinger comes from a contest that the Rockies had. Mm-hmm. It was a little girl. She just came up with the name. I'm sure they gave her, some hats and some tees and said, okay, we're going to be taking this name and making millions off of it. But yeah, I don't think she was a stat head, where she was like, well, we know the ball travels a lot more. And I've looked at the other, Pacific Coast League, ballparks. And I think here with the Denver Zephyrs, the ball travels. So you know what? Let's go Dinger. She just liked the name.
But Patrick, you don't know that for a fact.
No, I don't.
You don't know that for a fact.
I don't, actually.
She could have been a child wonder.
Do you know who that girl was?
No.
Kim Ang of the Miami Marlins. She became the GM. So, you know what?
Maybe.
I stand corrected. You might be onto something there.
For legal purposes, we are joking. Nothing but respect to Kim Ang.
We also don't know. I can't prove that.
You can't prove that it wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's also true. The reason why Dinger is a dinosaur is because when they were... And here's the thing. I've read it many times. Mm-hmm. When they were excavating, they found, a triceratops skull that was 1,000 pounds when they were excavating Coors Field. That's not right. I don't think that's right. I think they found bones.
They found bones. Yeah, no, the actual thing is, they found bones. They weren't sure what type of dinosaur it was.
Yeah.
But other triceratopses had been found in the area.
Correct.
So, we'll guess that it's a triceratops, and also he would be a cute mascot.
I think where the Denver outlets are, in that area, around that time, a 2,000-pound Triceratops skull was found.
A whole ass Triceratops head.
And so somehow the story has kind of morphed into, oh yeah, it was found at Coors Field. I'm like, there would have been a lot of delays to excavate this skull. If they would have found it, I have to ask my uncle, because he did construction on Coors Field, as did my cousin. he's I guess technically speaking, the first person to ever slide into home plate. That was his claim to fame. As they lowered it down onto the crane, his boss was like, you got to slide into it. So there's a picture of him sprawled out. It's pretty cool.
That's actually really cool.
But I'm wondering if his mind hasn't totally gone yet. Say, when you guys were excavating, were you told if you find any bones to just stomp on them and just get rid of them right away so that, the construction could continue? That
maybe
would not surprise me.
Maybe they did find a whole triceratops in there. They just covered it up. They're like, no, we got to get this thing done.
And that's why I think it's the, what did I call it? The Cretaceous curse of the Rockies. That's it.
Hmm.
It's the field is on a dinosaur burial ground.
Oh my gosh.
And so the Rockies
Patrick,
could be cursed.
That is a really good point. I think that's it.
And this is, of course, not the first scandal for Dinger. The first would have been in August of 2021, if you remember. A grown-ass adult was shouting out Dinger's name, and it sounded like a really bad word.
Oh, boy.
That would have been the first real major scandal.
That's the first Dinger scandal.
Well, technically, his entire life has been a scandal because he walks around without pants. So do with that what you will.
I will say, I have a friend who lives in Colorado who's from Australia originally, but apparently Dinger is like a word for a male body part.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, again, whole life is a scandal.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good to know. What, like
that's,
mascots?
That's not something that people in Australia would name a mascot because of that.
No. But what American word do we use as that's bad? Would they go, oh yeah, it's just, it's what we call a cigarette. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. All right, yeah. So I've done a lot of research on mascots and haven't done much with it. Today was the day. Today was the day to kind of bust it out. Do you know how many teams right now don't actually have a mascot in MLB?
I feel like not a lot. I know the Yankees don't. They have, but like they just pretend it never happened. And he was terrifying looking, so I agreed. Pretend he never happened. I don't think the Dodgers have ever had a mascot.
They have not.
There are some organizations that are just like, we are too good to cater to the children.
So three. Angels, Dodgers, Yankees. Angels had like the rally monkey in 2000 when they went to the World Series against the Giants, but that was just like an unofficial. There was nobody in any costumes. Mm. And then in the 1990s, they had a couple pairs of mascots. I don't even know what they were, to be honest. But the Dodgers have never, ever had any mascot, to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. They are no fun. How about that? And then you're right. Dandy. That was the name of the Yankees mascot in the late
70s. That's his name.
Dandy.
What a scary, scary thing.
One of my favorite moments.
Wait, you made a spreadsheet? Hold on, I'm requesting access. Give me access right now.
I don't think I have the technological dexterity.
How dare you share the link but not give me access? We have spreadsheet drama today, folks.
All right, so
this is huge.
There are about 13 different mascots that are older than Dinger.
Okay.
All right. So as I give you access.
Thank you.
All right, so starting from the nearest to Dinger. In 93, Milwaukee Sausages.
Okay. Oh, the sausages are iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy the Marlin, also 93. So yeah. Just beat out. He got his name Billy because a marlin is a type of billfish. How about that?
I would have never known that unless you told me.
Mariner Moose, only 1990. Still pretty new.
Yeah.
Still pretty new.
I've met the Moose. The Moose is cute.
Orbit for the Astros. Discontinued in the early 2000s, but then came back. Hmm. So maybe put an asterisk there. Slider for Cleveland, the Guardians, is also 1990. Then we have nothing in the entire like 1980s that is like still around at least. Mr. Red, 1980, whew, then disappeared during somewhere in the late 80s. Fred Bird, 1979. Pirate, 79. Orioles Bird, 79. Philly Fanatic, 1978. I think it was developed by Ted Gianulis, mm-hmm, who came up with the San Diego Chicken, which was the mascot for a radio station in San Diego, mm-hmm, believe it or not. And then there's actually some that predate the Philly Fanatic. Bernie Brewer, 1973, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Mr. Met, 1962.
Original Mr. Met is terrifying.
Yeah, I've never been a fan because he's just a Frankenstein head. He's got stitches all on his head.
Original Mr. Met, though, was not okay because it was like not like big cartoony gloves. It was just like human hands.
Oh,
sticking
yeah
out of the costume.
There was a lot of that. Until the Fanatic, they did not have that perfected.
I saw like the, when I was at, I almost called it Shea Stadium. When I was at Citi Field in the Mets Museum, they have the original Mr. Met. I'm like, this is not okay.
Was there any way for the person inside to actually see out? But probably very small.
You know what? Let's check.
Probably very small. And then 1958, the Swinging Friar has been used as an actual mascot for San Diego Padres. This was when they were in the Pacific Coast League. The San Diego Padres didn't even exist as a major league team yet. So technically speaking, that is the oldest mascot.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So good for them.
Dinger's older than Paws, the Tigers mascot, 94. Also, yeah, Slugger. Spell Slugger. Can you spell Slugger?
Slugger?
Don't look on your laptop.
What do you mean Slugger?
Slugger, the mascot for the Royals. He's a lion.
Is it not how you spell like a Louisville Slugger?
It's with three R's. Grr.
Why?
He's a lion. Grr. Because he's a lion.
Oh, got
Lucille it. Lucille for the Giants, 1996. Full name, Luigi Francisco Seal. Folks, this is why you listen to the DNVR Rockies podcast for these important things. Wally the Green Monster is only from 1997. So, yeah. Again, Dinger actually predates the Boston Red Sox mascot. Stomper, the elephant for the A's, also 1997. It's pretty good.
I can't find my picture right now of the original Mr. Met. It'll take me all show looking at my phone, so.
Final fun fact for mascots.
Okay.
Rosie Red, her name apparently is an acronym for a group called
yes.
Rooters Organized to Stimulate Interest and Enthusiasm for the Cincinnati Reds. Rosie Reds. I bet you knew that.
I knew that only because, first of all, I think Rosie Red is actually so adorable.
You know shit like that. You just know stuff like that. It's great.
Well, the funny thing is like, there was, you know, one of those hot stove events, kind of similar to one that maybe a Rockies owner has been to recently, but the Reds had their own version. They have like a Rosie luncheon.
Oh.
And he said at the luncheon, he's like, I didn't know this was an acronym. And everyone's like, you own the team. Maybe, this has been around for a while.
I think you actually told me that.
I think I might
you
have.
Did. I think you've told me that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's
that's cool. Always fun. That is always fun.
I'm a big mascot girly. Marissa just walked through the studio. We got us talking about mascots and left very quickly because she hates mascots.
She's a fear.
She hates it. She's so afraid of them. And I don't know why. She's like a big baby.
We learned when Spencer was on a few weeks ago, you know, that he doesn't have a phobia of, I think he does. He has a phobia of sneezing. And we figured out what that was. So if you have a mascot phobia, what is the proper name? Like Triskaidekaphobia is?
Yeah, fear of 13.
See, she knows stuff like that. Masklophobia, or maskophobia, is a specific phobia used to classify the general, in some cases, irrational fear of masks. So I think that could generally be it.
Interesting. We just have to get her psychologically evaluated to figure out what is it about mascots that scares her.
Yeah, and not like just leave her trapped in a room with one. Because that never helps someone.
That actually sounds cruel and unusual. I would never do that to Marissa.
No, well, that's what aren't the Mets doing that with Eduardo Escobar? Because they found out that, what does he hate? Oh, he hates cats? And so I think they're pretending like there's a cat in the clubhouse.
I didn't know they were doing
and it's
that.
Like, I was like, I don't care for that. That's, I mean, it's funny, but it's also.
Oh, no.
It's like Adrian Beltre not liking the top of his head touched. All those things. Yeah.
Baseball players are so weird. I love them.
They're weird. Well,
I love that this is our job, is to talk about how weird they are.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. And you look, bottom line, you are not weird if you don't pay full price for tickets. That's why you got to go to Game Time Tickets, especially if you wait close to 60 minutes before the game. You can get about 60% off face value.
I got to say PSA, because this Nuggets game is so late.
Yes.
People are dropping prices, trying to get something for those tickets, because some people don't want to start a night out at 8:30 on a Sunday.
That's where Game Time thrives.
Game Time is thriving. My friend got like super cheap courtside tickets earlier today.
Use the link in our description because people, they're buying a package of playoff tickets and they're like, maybe I'm not even really interested in going, or I will go when it's not a school night or a work night. So yeah, so I got to sell these tickets. I never really planned on going. Game Time Tickets is going to allow you to sit courtside, get a good seat. If you're at a baseball game, I imagine the Rockies, you can get a couple good seats for this Pirate series. I mean, people are pretty stoked about Connor Joe.
I was going to say,
but not stoked enough.
The return of Connor Joe.
That would be
cool. It's going to be amazing.
That would be really neat. Yeah, so make sure you join over the 15 million folks who've downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all their favorite events. Hit the link in our description to save and make sure you just don't pass up on a really good deal. A buy one, get one situation for Shady Rays premium polarized shades.
I think I have my Shady Rays with me.
Because she had previously
lost them,
but
wait,
never
did
fear.
I lose them again?
Oh God, here we go again. No, fear not, because they've got a lost and broken replacement policy. If you break them, boom, they're gonna send you a new pair. You lose them, they will send you a new pair. If you don't like it within 30 days, they will give you a full refund. If you're not sure how they look on your face, that's why you get the 30 days to send it back. But if you do want to know what they look like, go to the Park Meadows Mall. You get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people and the shades that only one person has ever lost 2 pairs of consecutively within a month.
I wore them here. I wore them to this set. Where the hell did they go? Shit.
Someone right now is watching on camera and they're like looking at them. They're pointing at their screen. Like, they're right there. I don't know.
No, I wore them upstairs.
We will find them. I think.
I was like so excited because I like had them.
You were very excited when you got your lost pair.
I just got the replacement pair.
You got your.
I'm kind of freaking out right now. Did I lose them again? I just had them.
Susie, I'm looking at them right now. They're on your head. No,
they're not.
But we got a good, we could screenshot that one, and Susie was left home alone without her Shady Rays. Boom. You're welcome, Shady Rays. We're doing it now. We're doing it.
Anyway, that was my little freak out for the show.
Twitter usually blows up on the weekends for Rocky's Twitter, and mm-hmm. It was good, but it just wasn't one of those fun weekends, right?
No.
Where it was like, everything's getting reposted, videos going all over the place. It was good. Business was good as usual, but it might not have been fun. I know you found a little bit of that fun out in the Twitterverse.
I found some fun. We're going to peep some tweets.
Let's do it.
Let's get this started. Hold on a second. I spent so much time searching for the sunglasses.
You were looking at the, you were probably looking at the mascot spreadsheet. You're excited about that.
I know. All right. So we're going to start with some Philly stuff because I know our Rockies fans love my Phillies content. I know they love it.
Well, at least we're not going to have any in the next week or so, are we? Oh wait.
I know. I will not be going to Philly. So here's a video. Do we have it up on the? Okay. So there's a video of this little fan who acquired a home run. She's so little. This kid's going to be like 4 years old. She throws it out. She knows. She can't hit an opponent's home run or acquired an opponent's home run.
That's impressive.
She's like barely old enough to walk.
That's impressive. I mean, it's impressive, but at the same time, I'm going to hold on to it. I've got enough games in here, not enough home run baseballs, that I'd hold on to it. I'd hold on to that. What was the first one?
You know what?
This is
from
Wow, so that was everyone was cool with that, huh? They were just cool for just throwing it back, huh?
Yeah, I didn't give her too time to let them cheer her. They were very much encouraging her.
She has a good arm.
She does have a good arm, very happy.
Putting a rookie of the year situation, she threw it in, catch it, caught it behind the plate, then she signed up. It's going to be the start of the movie.
All right, speaking of throws, do you remember the pizza throw at a Red Sox-Padres game from years ago?
Oh, I don't remember the details entirely.
So,
guy dropped a pizza on a player, maybe?
So a player hit some fans, and their beer spilled all over the place. But then someone out of nowhere throws a slice of pizza at those fans, and no one knows why.
Yeah, that also doesn't make sense, too, because that fan actually broke up what would have been an out against his team.
Yep.
So that was not a Steve Bartman situation.
The pizza, yeah.
Yes, that
there
was.
It is, there it is.
Do we have new footage? I mean,
no. But
the dinger attack had a lot of different angles and footage.
You know, this is from a different time. This is barely HD footage. This looks like it was shot on a potato. But former Red Sox broadcaster Don Ursulo posted "Happy Pizza Day to all" earlier today because it's the anniversary of it.
That's it. The Padres have a lot of fun in that booth. A lot of fun.
They're lucky to have him. Yeah,
they are.
But he was fun. When I worked in Boston,
yeah.
It was him and Jerry Remy in that booth.
Yes.
I'm like, that was just like
it's a good booth.
The best booth.
That's a fun booth.
That was a great booth.
Pizza throw. Wow.
Happy pizza throw day to those who observe.
This is becoming a theme I'm noticing, a very good theme for anyone that trying to get into baseball, trying to get into the Rockies. Baseball has a lot of history, and it's hard to know all of it. And the pizza throw is like, believe it or not, it is part of baseball history. We're getting people up to date on these kind of things with our games. I do love that.
We're going to throw it back now. Ooh, transition. Smooshy. So this Rockies minor leaguer tweeted this in 2020, but it's kind of like resurfacing because actually Josh Sushan brought it up on his radio show yesterday. Daniel Cope of the Isotopes posted, I guess, you know, like when you're a senior in high school, like you'll have a teacher that maybe has you write a letter to your future self.
Yeah.
So he did that senior year and then got the letter a few years later and then shared it on Twitter.
That was cool.
Shared it on
Twitter. I did see that.
So it was really sweet. You know, he was hoping that, you know, he would be in a position like he's in today.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it. And it, because Josh posted that, it like really picked up. It only had a few likes before, but I was like, oh, okay, people are paying attention.
Cope's Topes. I love that.
It's
funny, believe it or not, I actually write myself a letter every day. It's usually just like for me the next morning, and it's take out the garbage and, you know, make sure you send these emails and start work on a certain story. So, you know, but, you know, I don't advertise it. I'm just saying. That's just me. I'm just modest that way.
Oh, my gosh. Also, that the pizza throw was in 2007.
Dang.
I couldn't tell what year that was.
Rockies fans, don't get any ideas.
No.
We've already been getting in trouble. Do not do it.
Oh, no.
If you have a full head of beautiful silvery hair and you've had one too many drinks, do not throw a slice of pizza. Don't do it.
Do it, do it, do it. All right, this is from our friend Jesse of the KOA broadcast team.
Yeah.
He posted, might do a baseball game, might go crab fishing, dressed for either. But you know what? It's definitely, it's giving Gorton's Fisherman.
Very much Gorton vibes.
Like yellow raincoat and everything. I got a kick out of that.
That's pretty good. And he's in a dome stadium too. But he's feeling himself. He's got that vibe.
I love that for him.
Jesse's prepared. He's got it. And he's around all that electrical equipment. So it maybe has something to do with, you know, getting electrocuted. I don't know, but I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt.
You know what? That's one of the better visitor broadcast booths because the Oakland Coliseum is getting a lot of it's getting a lot of attention for a reason that maybe they don't like, but a possum.
You may still have to wear rain slickers if you're in that
booth. You might still
have
to. A possum has taken up residence in the visitors broadcast booth.
Yep.
But also this, the front office sports story about it is so funny because the way they photoshopped it for Twitter makes it look like this is like a 1,000-foot-tall possum.
They did make it look pretty interesting.
They made it look a little.
The Mets hardly ever go to Oakland, and they're like, "Yeah, we were just in some auxiliary booth," and who was it? Gary Cohen? I think had a pole in his way. He's like, "I'd rather that than possum droppings."
I love when a possum drops in.
No, not that kind of droppings. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe they haven't gotten rid of that thing. Or again, if you're Oakland and you're trying to force a move and to force someone to, you know, pay for a new stadium or approve a new stadium, you let that thing go and it keeps the story going.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me, are you saying right here, right now on the DNVR Rocky show that the possum at the Oakland Coliseum is an industry plant?
It's part of a larger conspiracy, Susie. And Rob Manfred knows all about it.
Oh, this is wild.
Yep. In fact,
this goes all the way to the top.
In fact, do you know who is at that possum's christening and is his godfather? Rob Manfred.
Folks, you heard it here first.
For sure. Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, wow, wow.
Also, could you train a possum like on, you know, like on movie sets? They have animals to come out. We got to match. We got to see. And again, the possum only comes out when a large market like New York comes to town. Could this be a trained possum?
Ooh, I mean,
this
possums,
is all part of the conspiracy.
I think it might be hard to train possums because they have terrible eyesight in the daytime.
Okay. No, that situation's bad. Salt Lake Athletics. That has an interesting ring. You could go, look, they've got the Salt Lake B's right now. Give them the Salt Lake A's. They just moved up a letter in the alphabet. Let's go.
Yeah.
Why not? I think that could work.
All right, we got one more from the Yard Goats. The Yard Goats always crush it on social media, but they showed their support for Dinger with this very not Photoshop jacket that says "Justice for Dinger."
Yeah. We appreciate that support.
Do you know if this mascot? Do you know if this is Chompers or Choo Choo?
I couldn't remember the names. Like, Choo Choo is one of them. I could not tell the difference.
This one is Chompers. It's the boy. The boy is the green one.
And Choo Choo is blue.
Choo Choo is blue. Easy and to remember. The girl.
Choo Choo blue.
Yeah.
Done.
Also named by small children.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, Choo Choo is the really genius name because it's also the train sound. Choo Choo.
Oh, that is pretty good.
The Yard Goat's a train.
That's pretty good. I do
kid
like
named, the kid who named Choo Choo playing chess.
The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs have good names because it's like Fiona and Ferris, which Fe is the chemical symbol for iron. So like it really kind of goes deep.
I like that.
Yeah, that Choo Choo is good. That does work. I'm glad that Dinger is getting support in the mascot community.
Yes.
In spite of all this. Question is, do we see Dinger at the ballpark these next 3 days against the Pirates?
I will say, from what I've noticed with my own eyes in the days following the incident, we have only seen Dinger twice every game. Mm. We've seen Dinger on the field.
Yeah.
Before games.
Sometimes
you know,
warming
when people,
up the person throwing the first pitch.
Yeah. Which is like a usual Dinger activity. And we've seen Dinger go back to the scene of the crime at the seventh inning stretch because he has to do that dance. But then I have not seen Dinger walking around the park at all. Dinger hasn't made rounds in the press box like he normally does.
That's true.
Dinger has, from what I can see, from what I've witnessed, Dinger has been laying low. So I think we will see Dinger, but only in those two spots.
Have they hired a new trainer, like someone that has like MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu experience?
I think Dinger just needs more security around him.
Just multiple trainers?
Just multiple.
See, again, you pay nearly $8 million for a left fielder when you already know you're going to be under 500. You could have been investing in
Dinger
six
security.
To seven. Dinger now is going to have an entourage.
I want Dinger. Oh, my God. I want Dinger to have an entourage and they all have the Pit Vipers.
I hope that one of them at least dresses up like Turtle with the backwards cap, wearing FUBU jerseys. Like, if let's really take the entourage thing, you know, Johnny Drama, you know, we got to get the whole crew.
If you're listening, let's get Dinger an entourage. It's for his own good.
Mark Wahlberg would sign off on that because he doesn't care about his own team in Boston. He'll just go anywhere to sell some of his, you know, frozen Wahlburger patties, to sell some of his municipal gear, which is actually pretty dope. Marky, if you're watching this, send some municipal gear my way. It's actually pretty good. Athleisure wear. Municipal. It's nice. Parker, get on that. Let's go.
Okay, are you done?
What else does he have? Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay.
Does he sell anything else? He's got an app, the Halo app, but it's not my thing.
I've not been keeping tabs on what Mark Wahlberg is up to. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's just crushing it at life is what he's doing.
Good for him.
That's what he's doing.
I hope you get your free Mark Wahlberg stuff.
Thank you. Mark Wahlberg stuff. That's it. Look,
I hope you fish your wish on this one.
We are crushing it on social media, particularly Twitter. So you got to make sure you're following us with all that activity at DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you can find me at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
This has been momentous.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what's been going on in the field the last couple days, not as much. But it's about us, our momentum, our podcast. And it's also about the thing that we say about said momentum.
Well, what do we say, Patrick?
We say your momentum is only as good as your next show. So we will talk to you tomorrow at 1 p.m. on the DNVR Sports Channel here on YouTube.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy.
Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.